to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Good morning, everyone. Andrew Mays with you for the Breakfast Bite on this Tuesday morning as we take a breath after all the fallout from the weekend's footy, sport and racing. And we'll start in the footy world where Dion Prestia answered a few questions about Dustin Martin's fitness.
I'm sure he'll be raring to go next week, and pretty dangerous Dusty off a week off, so should be interesting.
If it was a horse, you'd back him?
Absolutely. You always back him.
Not bad from Dion Prestia. Matt Finnis, meanwhile, pointed to Brett Ratten being in the box seat for the Saints job.
You know, Rats has got that opportunity over, you know, 6 weeks to, you know, really wrap his arms around that role in the team, and we couldn't be more pleased with the way he's going about that.
2 days before the next Ashes test begins, and a bit of a war of words has erupted between Justin Langer and Jofra Archer. Let's have a listen to Langer on the Australians' tactics to Jofra.
Test cricket is very different than white ball cricket, so our plans to him will be no different than they were going to be against James Anderson or Broad, Wokes, Ben Stokes.
Then Jofra had his say.
I don't think Justin Langer has seen me play first class cricket. He usually bowls about 40 overs every game anyway, so I think he has another thing coming.
Another thing coming. Would like to hear that if I was the Aussies. It is going to be intriguing tomorrow night at Lord's, a little under 48 hours away. Lots to get through on the Breakfast Bite with plenty of live sport happening overnight too. We'll whip through it all now.
You're listening to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
After six this morning as well, half Scotty and the Duke returns. John Hastings will be in the third chair today. Another man who's been struck down with illness. We've had three go down in the last week and a half. It's been a torrid time here at RSN, but the Duke makes his return after a week on the interchange bench last week. He's rested, he's well, and plenty of cricket to talk about as well throughout the morning. Russell Milton, our EPL expert, will join us at around 6:30. We've got the early mail for you before 7. Max Gorn from the Melbourne Footy Club will be in the studio for the final time this season. We might touch base with him a little bit more throughout spring, but definitely for the end of Melbourne season. We'll have a look at the last fortnight for them. Glenn McFarlane from 7:30 with all the latest footy news. Then after 8 o'clock, we'll hopefully touch base with Gabby Ruffles, who was amazing yesterday in becoming the first Australian woman to win the US amateur. And then Jason Johannesson will join us from the Western Bulldogs to round out the show. Let's start the Breakfast Bite, though, with the footy news from yesterday, and we'll hear a little bit more from Dion Prestia on facing West Coast and Dustin Martin in just a tick. But, of course, the spotlight was down on the Bombers. Zach Merritt, he copped all the hard questions on the way into training.
A lack of fight, yeah. It didn't feel like we weren't trying, but we couldn't stop them kicking goals, so it's clearly disappointing, and we need to work out ways to stop letting teams score so many points, because it's been a couple of weeks in a row now.
What's happened the last couple of weeks?
Geez, if I had the silver bullet, I'd be certainly all over it and be trying to turn it around. So I'm sure it's a number of things that we're not doing correctly at the moment.
Did you put up a white flag? Is that something?
That's a pretty big call to say white flag. I think that's probably a bit extreme. I think we just weren't able to execute near the way that we wanted to for a long period of time, which is extremely disappointing, and credit to the Dogs for the way they played as well. Oh, I mean, we'll certainly identify things not doing well, but we're not going to get on the roller coaster. We won't change whether we win or lose. Ultimately, with our review, it's something that we're trying to get better. So, there'll be certainly things that weren't up to scratch, and they'll be pointed out, but it won't be, the be-all and end-all, and certainly won't be a white flag in the review.
How can you turn this around?
How can we? Well, we've got three home in 5 days, don't we? And we're fortunately sitting a game clear in eighth, albeit two pretty poor weeks. So we know Freo, they won't care how we're going, and they'll come out to play. And Ross Lyon-led teams usually come out with a strong bit of fight and play good footy. So great chance in 5 days to play Freo.
It sounds a bit obvious, but you've got yourself in a great position. You know, lost the last two, but you're still in the eight. How disappointing would it be to not make finals from here?
Yeah, it's always disappointing if you don't make finals. Considering that we're two or three games clear a couple of weeks ago has obviously put us in a great spot, but we've made it difficult for ourselves the last couple of weeks. But as I said, you know, we've got a great chance against Freo this week, so really looking forward to that.
Zach Merritt answering all the hard questions yesterday ahead of training. We'll hear from CEO Xavier Campbell a little later on in the Breakfast Bite. The other big news, of course, yesterday as well was the fact that Jared Ruffhead will get a farewell game. He'll do a press conference a little later this morning announcing his retirement at the end of the season. 282 games. He'll play his 283rd and last on the weekend. 572 goals. Captain for a couple of years at the Hawks and a four-time premiership player in 08, 13, 14 and 15. Won the Coleman in 2013. Couple of All-Australians. Three-time Hawthorn leading goal kicker and the Rising Star nominee in 2005. So that is a fair resume to finish on. And, of course, we know all the personal battles he's been through with his health too. So just to make it back was incredible. But to play a couple more seasons after that cancer scare, yeah, an incredible effort by Jared Rufford. We'll hear from more, as I mentioned. He'll speak with Alistair Clarkson at around 9 a.m. this morning. Let's head to Dion Presti now. You heard him off the top talking about Dustin Martin's fitness. He also expanded on facing West Coast this week. Who would have thought that the top four in the final or second last round would all be playing each other?
West Coast have been obviously good the last 18 months. So to get him at the G will probably rain again, probably. So, yeah, I think that's our advantage point. Playing all these games at MCG and should be a really good matchup. They've got some awesome keys at either end of the ground. So, yeah, it should be interesting to see the matchups play out.
Dion Prestia speaking yesterday. Let's now head to Luke Dunstan. He's hopeful Brett Ratten will get the job. You heard Matt Finnis off the top. He is a player endorsing the current coach.
I'm not sure how much say we're going to have because they've obviously put the panel together, but yeah, I think the players, yeah, would love to have him. We had a little thing during the week. He showed us a guy on his skateboard trying to learn a new trick, and he mucked it up about 20 times before he finally got it. So he sort of brought that up, and we kept falling off the skateboard, and we finally stuck the trick in the last 30 seconds, so it was good.
Good effort by the Saints there on the weekend. Luke Dunstan chatting there on his current coach, Brett Ratten. Maybe his permanent coach as of next year. We'll wait and see what happens there. Let's head to John Longmire now. Still plenty of speculation as to when Buddy will actually play game number 300. He's stuck on number 299 at the moment there at the MCG on Friday night, then return home in the final round. Here's the Sydney coach speaking yesterday.
Milestone significant for him, and to be able to do it is great, but when you've had a couple of hamstrings, he's only played 9 games this year. It's making sure he's physically right. And if that's next week, it's next week. If it's not next week, well, it's not. But we'll make that call next week.
At the top of the breakfast bite, you heard a bit of a war of words erupting between Justin Langer and Jofra Archer. I think it was all in jest, but nice to see a bit of banter between the two ahead of the start of the second Ashes test tomorrow night, Wednesday night kickoff here, Australian time. It's going to be a ripper at Lord's. It's going to be a bit of a green seamer as well. So looking forward to seeing a few pictures of the pitch over the next 24 hours or so. We'll have a listen to Justin Langer. First of all, on facing Jofra Archer and the fact that he's been called into the test lineup for England.
Most of our guys have played him a bit before. We've seen white ball cricket, or I think Cameron Bancroft said he played him a couple of years ago in a county game. So most of our guys have seen him before. And it'll be up to the individuals, actually, not so much our game plan against him. It's the same for all of the in Test cricket, get them into their second and third and fourth spells. It's that significant not only for this Test match, but also for the whole series. So, and I'm sure England will be doing exactly the same against our bowlers. But individually, they all have their different game plans, whether they're left-handed, right-handed, different conditions, the fields they're likely to set, all our batters, all our expectations, they'll be ready and be organised in their minds for how they're going to face him and the rest of England's attack.
Justin Langer on facing Jofra Archer there. We'll hear from Jofra now. He doesn't reckon he gets weary, even though that will be the Australians' tactics to him to make him bowl those second and third spells.
Well, I don't think Justin Langer has seen me play first class cricket. Usually bowl about 40 overs every game anyway, so I think he has another thing coming. Yeah, it was, get a good run out. I think I went past the overs that they told me was supposed to bowl as well. But then also it was still good to get a bat, batting about 10 to 15 balls max in the World Cup every game, if I did get to a bat. It wasn't great, so you just got to be mentally strong and know that if you do face more than 60 balls, you know you're going to have a good score.
The weather forecast for the next 5 days in England from Wednesday, the start of the test. Rain and 18, rain and 21, rain and 19, rain and 20, rain and 20. This might be a weather-interrupted second test at Lord's. Hopefully, the sunshine can peek through at some stage, although if that weather does stay around, it might make bowling a little easier with the conditions. We'll hear more from Justin Langer, who had a few comments on David Warner's form at the moment and also the first test a little later on in the breakfast bite. But let's head to one of the highlights from yesterday, and it was Gabby Ruffles, who is the sister of Ryan Ruffles, already a pro golfer. We've seen his work both in Australia and overseas as well, trying to make it towards the PGA Tour. But she had a brilliant moment yesterday, closing out the US Amateur.
Did she do it? She did. First for Australia, Gabriella Ruffles, your US Women's Amateur Champion.
Let's have a listen to what she had to say after the win.
I mean, I'm still kind of speechless right now. This is my dream. This is my goal. I've worked so hard to get here, but just wanted to say credit to Albain. She's such a great player and a great person, and it was a great match, and I wanted it so bad, and I'm still speechless, to be honest, but it feels amazing.
Birdie, birdie finish to close out victory. Stunning stuff from Gabby Ruffles. Well, hopefully, she's in the air at the moment, but hopefully when she lands, we'll be able to chat to her over in the US. Let's head to the NRL world now, where Graham Annesley, he is the head of, almost the equivalent head of football operations and in charge of the referees. He responded to a few calls yesterday saying that the game is going soft.
Well, what's our reaction when other highly credible people in the game say that they're perfectly happy with it? You know, I don't have to name them. We've all read them. But, you know, that, if
it's... Has the game gone soft, Brad?
Of course the game... Matt, what about you put your boots on, jersey on, and go out and play next weekend? You can tell me after 80 minutes on the field whether the game's gone soft or not.
I'm saying the game has definitely...
The one criticism that I don't think anyone has any credibility in claiming about our game is that it's soft. You know, I challenge anyone... To put the boots on and run out there and last 5 minutes in most of these games. It just wouldn't happen. First tackle, you know, we'd be calling for the ambulance for you, I know that.
Graham Annesley having a bit of fun with the journos yesterday. He was asked a couple of serious questions, though. First of all, on a potential shoulder charge on the weekend that wasn't reprimanded. It's something that the NRL have tried to get out of the game.
I think if you're trying to make a tackle and you're trying to extend an arm, you know, the arm's attached to your shoulder, so it's going to be there as well. But I also go back to the discussion that we had at the start of the year with the competition committee, where we discussed, in the light of the Slater incident last year, we discussed whether this type of tackle is the type of tackle that was intended to be eliminated from the game when we talk about eliminating shoulder charges. You know, we all know what the traditional shoulder charge looked like, with players coming at each other head face to face, one player with the ball and a defender who makes no attempt to make any kind of tackle whatsoever except other than drop the shoulder into the attacking player. So, you know, these are very different types of tackles. None of them have been charged apart from Slater, which was found not guilty. And as I said, there are elements of this tackle which do suggest that there was an attempt to make a tackle in the act of this particular motion.
To the other rugby world now, rugby union, and the Wallabies are on a high after their win on the weekend. Yesterday, speaking in Melbourne, they are acclimatising for New Zealand conditions this weekend, so they're spending the week down in sunny Melbourne trying to get a bit chilly. Rory Arnold, who is going to head overseas after this World Cup campaign, spoke about the hoodoo at Eden Park. He also mentioned that the Wallabies haven't done much yet.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Historically, it's obviously a hard place for the Wallabies to win. I can't remember the last time they did win there. I've only played there once. It was, it's pretty intense. The crowd's pretty hostile, and they just seem to lift whenever they play there, and that's the challenge that awaits us this weekend. we've done nothing yet. We've just earned the right to go over there and, you know, get on the plane and, yeah, back to step one, just worry about us and get our process right and really looking forward to it.
Rory Arnold speaking yesterday. Let's finish with the Wallabies now with Taniela Tupou. They call him the Tongan Thor. He's 178 centimetres tall and 141 kilos. He is a massive unit. He's just signed for 4 years with Rugby Australia. Big signature, considering he's one of the best young talents in the game.
Back in the days, you know, when I was growing up in Tonga, I used to, you know, wake up and watch us against All Blacks and us against the South Africa and stuff. I used to watch, James O'Gonna and stuff. And I was a big fan of, Grady and Eddie, some of those guys. And but you know, that was before I went to New Zealand. So you know, and I went to New Zealand and it didn't change. You know, I was still, you know, supporting Australia. And it was funny because I got up one of my mates yesterday and in Perth, and he reminded me how, you know, back in school I was the only one supporting the Wallabies, and you know, the rest of you were supporting the All Blacks. So it's crazy now that I'm, you know, here playing for Australia. So yeah, come a long way. So.
Taniela Tupou there, the Tongan Thor, speaking yesterday in Melbourne. Lots more to get through on The Breakfast Bite after this. We'll have a listen to the return of Andy Murray, and we'll give you an update of how he's going over in Cincinnati. A WNBA brawl that exploded yesterday as well over in the States. Extraordinary scenes there. Boxing with Tim Zhu, son of Kostya. He's going to fight tomorrow night in a big step towards possibly taking on Jeff Horn, plus a bit more reaction from the Premier League and the rest of your footy news from your Monday. It's 12 to 6.
This is The Breakfast Bite.
Onigwe, and this could get ugly. Griner is being held back by numerous players and now trying to throw punches. Agler now is being pushed along the sideline on the press row. My goodness, it has been intense.
The easygoing attitude of Brittany Griner, she's had enough of it.
Extraordinary stuff in the WNBA yesterday between the Dallas Wings and Phoenix Mercury. Just kicking off between those two sides. Not something you see every day. Let's head to the tennis world now, where Andy Murray has made his return in the US.
And the roars for a two-time champion. And he's recording the moment for himself as well.
I mean, you would never see that from Andy Murray of yesteryear, but I guess it says a lot about where he's come from, yeah. Kevin.
Absolutely, it does. Currently not such good news, though, on the court. He lost the first set 6-4 to Richard Gasquet. He's down 2-love in the second and a break. So Andy Murray serving at the moment 15-love, but an uphill battle to stay in the Cincinnati Masters. So good, though, to see him back. Looked like he was done and dusted. In fact, the Australian Open did a farewell to him. It's going to be a little embarrassing if he makes it all the way through to next year. Andy Murray there on court. We'll keep you updated with how he goes throughout the morning. Meanwhile, some of the other results from an Australian perspective. Unfortunately, Jordan Thompson went down to Nishioka of Japan, 7-5, 5-7, 6-4, so losing in three sets. Nick Kyrgios will play a little later on this morning. Not quite sure if he'll get on court before the Breakfast Club boys finish, but I'm sure Gareth Hall will have it all covered. Alex Dimonor won overnight as well, 7-6, 6-1, 6-2. Nice to see him through to the round of 32. And Alexei Popperin unfortunately lost to Kudla from the US, 6-3, 4-6, 6-3. So unfortunately, a couple of the Aussies falling short there, but good to see a couple get through. In terms of the women as well, Astra Sharma, she lost in 3, 1-6, 6-4, 1-6. So she is out of the Cincinnati Masters. And then having a look at some of the other Aussies in action, we'll have to wait a little longer after 9 o'clock this morning. So we'll keep you posted on how they all track throughout today with RSN Central. Gareth Hall taking over from Michael Felgate at 10:30. Let's head to the soccer world now, where Simon Hill yesterday on Fox Sports had his say on the VAR in the Premier League, which was used for the first time over the weekend.
You know, we've had it in the A-League for a year or two now, and I've been vehemently against it, and I haven't seen anything across the weekend to make me change my mind. Look, I will say that the game between West Ham and Man City, there were three VAR reviews. Now, to be fair, they got them all right. If people are happy with waiting a minute each time and having these sorts of delays, well, okay, good on you. Maybe that's, you know, I'm just an old romantic and I prefer the game to flow. I think human error is part and parcel of the game, and, you know, it's now reducing the match to technicalities and, you know, forensic reviews of, I think Raheem Sterling was a millimetre offside. I mean, goodness me. You know, is this what football's come to? I hate it.
Simon Hill speaking on Fox Sports yesterday. We'll get your Premier League fix a little later on too with Russell Milton, who joined us in about half an hour's time on The Breakfast Club. Let's head to the boxing world now, where Tim Zhu spoke ahead of his fight tomorrow. This seen as a step towards taking on Jeff Horn.
Oh, it's been great. Second time headlining main event. I just want to thank Matt Rose. Thank you to everyone behind the scenes involved to getting this event happening. It's a big night. I've trained hard for this fight, and you know you're gonna see the best Tim come out on Wednesday night.
Any response to the home brand comment?
What's there to say? I'm going to show everything on Wednesday night.
Tim Zhu in action tomorrow night. Looking forward to seeing that fight on main event. Let's just finish with cricket for the time being. Justin Langer has spoken overnight. You heard him a bit of tete-a-tete with Jofra Archer over the last 24 hours. He said David Warner hopefully is set for a big score at Lords.
Yeah, I like when great players miss out, because it means they usually, they're great players for a reason, and he's got that look in his eye. He would have liked to get more runs in the first innings, like a few of the boys, but he's, I don't mind when really good players or great players miss out a few times. It means statistically they'll probably get some pretty soon, so hopefully it's this test match.
He also expanded, saying the first test win counts for absolutely nothing.
When we win three test matches, then I'll be confident we're going to take the Ashes back. So there's nothing you can do about what happened last week. There's nothing we haven't won 2-0 yet. England haven't won 1-1 yet either. So we'll just put all our attention to this test match and ask me that next test press conference. But at the moment it's 1-0, four more tests to go, and we're going to concentrate on winning this one. We were really pleased to win the first test, but we didn't come here to win the first test. We came to win the Ashes. So we're going to focus on this test match. We're very aware that England played without James Anderson as their best player, one of the best players, so we're aware of that. And we got lucky. That's the truth of it. We got lucky with him not playing. He's a brilliant fast bowler. Like I say, he's an all-time great. So if he only bowls four overs for the match, we got lucky there. So we're aware of that. We know it's different conditions. We know there's different pressures. And we've got to just make sure we're right for this test match.
Time to finish the Breakfast Bite with a bit more of the footy news from yesterday. As we know, the spotlight was down at Essendon at Windy Hill yesterday. Even their CEO, Xavier Campbell, was stopped on his way into work.
It's disappointing. These guys are hurting. You know, it was a really difficult performance on the weekend. You know, there's no sugarcoating that, you know, one bit. And we need to make sure we make those hard calls.
So have you got a decision to make on the coach for next year?
You know, John's our coach. I mean, they're all hypotheticals. I know that's the narrative that will be trotted out this week, and I understand the business like that, but I think in the context of where we sit, we're very much alive. Our season is very much alive. We sit seventh on the ladder. There's two games left. There's a big opportunity in front of us, and we want to make the most of that opportunity.
Amazing to think they still are inside the eight. We talk about them as if they're a bottom four side at the moment. To Willie Rioli now. He spoke yesterday on his own form and facing the Tigers this weekend.
Missing the first 8 weeks, it's definitely a challenge, and I guess, yeah, it definitely put me back a bit. But yeah, like I said, the last month I've been working really hard on not just, you know, getting the ball in my hand, but my defensive running as well, and trying to help the team defensively. They're definitely the favourites going into this week, and we look forward to, yeah, the challenge, and Richmond playing an exciting brand of footy, and like us, they're getting plays back at the right time.
Willie Rioli there. There'll be a couple of Riolis involved in that game on the weekend. Should be an absolute cracker. Maybe a grand final preview. West Coast and Richmond to go at it on the weekend. To Charlie Cameron now. Speaking of big games, the Lions face Geelong this weekend, and he says it is one of the toughest tests in footy.
Because these games right now against Geelong this week and then Richmond next week is going to be finals like footy, so that'll be a bit experiencing playing against top teams like GWS, play West Coast at the start of the year, so It's gonna be tough, but I guess a bit of experience for you boys going into it. We're underdogs at the moment, so no one's doubting us, but I guess inside the footy club, we know how good we are and how good we can be. When I started my career, watching him play, I remember going to the 2015 grand final when they played West Coast. I was doing a grand final sprint, and then he won the Norm Smith. So, it's been a huge honour to be named like him, so I guess put in that category, but yeah, I've still got a long way to go.
That's just about it for the Breakfast Bite on this Tuesday morning. Lots to dissect over the next 2.5 hours. Make sure you strap yourself in for a big edition of the Breakfast Club.